WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The Golden Bachelor TV show generated a ton of interest from a variety of demographics, including young women. It also reinvigorated what's seen as a somewhat tired television franchise. Joining us to discuss the phenomenon is Tom Lason, media analyst in Seattle, Washington. Find him on X, the former Twitter, at Tom Lason. Tom, thank you for joining us today. And before we continue with this conversation, if you are watching The Golden Bachelor, but you're not fully caught up, and I'm in that boat too, this is going to be a completely spoiler-free discussion. But Tom, we've been talking all year long about the travails of traditional broadcast linear television, and then along comes a show that kind of turns all those trends around.
Yeah, it does. You know, they really found a recipe here with this one. Golden Bachelor has been in the works for years. It was delayed by COVID. And when it finally rolled out, it really did look like, really does look like there was an audience waiting for something a little different, a little more inclusive, maybe a little less Survivor meets Mean Girls with an older generation talking about real life experiences, the death of spouses and a lot of loss and those kinds of things. So maybe the country and this younger demographic, 18 to 49, that's pulling a 2 share, which is good these days in the world of 900 channels. I think maybe they've hit the mark.
Now, at the same time, I mean, you talk about a 2 share, and this refers to the people who are watching The Golden Bachelor on ABC, much in the way our ancestors did on television at the time. It's appointed time in TV Guide. But I know my wife and I are watching The Golden Bachelor. We're doing it on Hulu. And I guess at the end of the day, all the money goes into Bob Iger's pocket. But as a streaming and broadcast phenomenon, what does this mean about the future of traditional network television?
Well, I think it means, this to me is an example of a symbiotic relationship that can exist, that you build an audience, you build some momentum, you build some hype with appointment viewing because you got to be there to see it. But then if you missed it, then you can pick up the people who weren't able there to see it. There's a nice cross-platform relationship going across here. You know, they nailed something like 14 million viewers combined both linear and streaming at the end of the day on the debut, and the numbers have been hanging in there 5 or 6 million on subsequent episodes. So I don't see it as really, this might be a little bit of a counterfactual example of a symbiotic relationship that can exist between linear and streaming.
I guess the difference, though, between the phenomenon of The Golden Bachelor versus, let's say, Home Improvement on ABC 30 years ago is that ABC is now in the same boat as every other service that offers programming. It has a hit, you watch the hit, as opposed to 30 years ago when Home Improvement was on, you would then stick around for Grace Under Fire or whatever show was on around it because that was the only thing available to you.
Yeah, you know, lead-in always mattered, and that was true with a lot of the big syndicated programs from The Wheel and Fortune. You know, a lot of the TV schedule was built around trying to take people from day part to day part and build momentum going into prime time and a lot of those things. But I would also say, too, when it comes to the hits and identifying them, no matter, you know, you've talked about our ancestors, some things just never change, Rob. People love. They love story. They love characters. They love high drama and intrigue. They love heartbreak and redemption. They love escapism. I don't think those things will ever change. And if you find the recipe, if you can score something, you know, something, yeah, a 23-year-old young woman will watch a 70-year-old man try to find love because it has those elements.
And on top of that, I mean, the one thing that that makes it appealing, at least for me watching, is that as the way all of the contestants are presented, I think they were all trying to find love after experiencing loss in their life. There was a lot of widows with the widower on this show. They were all trying to pick themselves up after experiencing the death of a spouse or a loved one, which was an interesting spin on the Bachelor concept. It also seemed more inclusive to me because in previous iterations of The Bachelor, everybody is, for lack of a better word, intimidatingly beautiful. And you might feel a little, you might look at various aspects of yourself and go, well, I don't measure up compared to them.
That's always been one of the critiques of the show, is the exploitive nature of it, the relatively narrow demographic that are contestants on the show. So I think this idea of being a little more inclusive is a fine idea. And I also think, too, that what you pick up on that show is that it's a little less focused on the contestants trying to become the next generation of social media influencers, they've got that part of their lives done. They're not looking to build careers or build fame or anything. They really are looking for love, according to the people who write about this in Bachelor Nation. So I do think it added a little bit more of a mature spin. It can't be a bad thing for people to watch this. Maybe a little emotional maturity displayed due to life experience. And I definitely think that that makes this one stand out. It'll be interesting to see if it can stick as a spinoff.
Tom Lason, media analyst based in Seattle, Washington, thanks for joining us.